present great stories from around the globe by some of the world's favorite writers in Springbok Library of the Air.
Death of a student.
Hello, Detective Inspector Brown's office, Sergeant Cunningham speaking. Yes. Yes. Very well, I'll tell him. Goodbye.
Hello, Bill.
Oh, hello, sir. You just missed a phone call from the pathologist. He asked me to tell you that the time of Carol Webster's death was between 9 and 11 last night.
Oh, thank you.
Who was Carol Webster when she was home?
Well, she was that young student who was reported missing this morning.
Oh.
She's not missing any longer. We pulled her out of the river about an hour ago.
Another student suicide, I suppose.
Well, that's what I thought at first. It seems we're both wrong.
How do you mean?
Oh, here. Just have a look at the preliminary medical report.
Oh, thank you. Well, let's have a look. Death caused by a single stab wound, entering 4 inches below the left shoulder blade, penetrated the heart.
You still think it was suicide?
Hardly. I wouldn't call it an accident either.
Neither would I. No, I don't think there's much doubt about it, Bill.
Huh?
Somebody deliberately came up behind this girl and stabbed her. And then she either rolled or was rolled down the river bank and into the water. And the loss of blood soon finished her off.
Nasty, eh?
Yeah.
But, if she was killed last night, how come she wasn't reported missing until this morning? I thought they kept a pretty close check on students at night.
Well, they tried to, but her roommate was covering up for her. I did have a word with the girl earlier on, but I sent for her again. Her name's Wainwright, Jennifer Wainwright.
Any chance of footprints where Carol Webster was stabbed, you know, all that kind of thing?
No, not really. It's been a dry summer. Well, I have an idea we might find the murder weapon in the river before long. Sounds like a flick knife to me. Yes?
Miss Wainwright has arrived, sir.
Good, bring her in, would you, Shaw? Bill, I want you to take notes of this.
Right.
Miss Wainwright, sir.
Now, come in, Miss Wainwright.
Thank you.
Now, please sit down, will you? Now, Miss Wainwright, when I spoke to you earlier today, we both knew that your roommate, Carol Webster, was missing. But we assumed that whatever she was reasonably safe. However, I'm sorry to have to tell you that since then the situation has changed.
Yes, yes, I know. I've heard.
I see. Well, in the circumstances, I'm sure you'll understand we must get straight down to business.
Yes, of course, Inspector.
All right, now I'd like your full name, please.
Jennifer Ann Wainwright.
Thank you. Age?
20.
You're a student. We know your university address. Good. Now then, I'd like to go over the same ground we covered this morning and try to get a more accurate picture of things. You told me then that Carol went out last night about 9 o'clock.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
She had a date at 9:30 with Paul Reynolds.
Where was she to meet him?
At the Frenchman's Arms. It's a pub by the river.
Yes, I know it. Who is this Paul Reynolds? Is he an undergraduate?
Yes, he is.
Did Carol often stay out all night?
Well, occasionally.
Why didn't you ever report that? It's against all university regulations, as you know. And I can tell you didn't approve of it.
Well, no, I didn't, but it's not as simple as that. We were very good friends. You see, we were at school together. I couldn't really let her down, if that was what she wanted to do.
She might have been better off if you had. However, on these other occasions when she stayed out all night, she always returned in the morning?
Yes, between 9 and 10 usually. And today she had to see her tutor at 9 o'clock, so naturally I thought she'd be back fairly early. But when she didn't turn up at 9, Miss Collins came along to our room to look for her.
I see. And then you had to tell her the truth?
Yes.
Well, now, this young man Reynolds, the one Carol was going to meet last night, what do you know about him?
Oh, not very much, but he is a member of the Amateur Dramatic Society. I think that was how he got to know Carol. She was quite a good actress, really.
Had she been going out with him long?
About 3 months, I suppose.
Did she have many boyfriends?
Quite a few.
But Paul was her steady date?
He had been, recently.
All right. Now, tell me about the other men in Carol's life. I want you to give me their names and everything you can remember about them.
Well, there was Jonathan Neal.
Yes.
She went out with him for a while. He has a room on the same staircase as Paul. He's an undergraduate, too, of course. And then there was Mr. Richards.
Mister?
Yes. Oh, perhaps I ought not to tell you this. It might just be gossip, but I did hear that last year he was going to get a divorce because of Carol. He lectures in English, and I believe he produced one of the plays Carol acted in.
Is he still married, this man?
Yes, I think so.
Now, can you think of any others? Anyone she knew at all well?
Well, there was Ronald Fulton. He wasn't really one of her boyfriends, but he's a very keen photographer, and she used to... She used to model for him.
Fulton, is he a student too?
Yes, he is.
Right. Is that the lot?
It's all I can think of just now.
Well, that's excellent, Miss Wainwright, and I'm very grateful. You've told me about four men who might be able to help us in our inquiries, and that's a very good start.
I'm only too pleased to help, Inspector.
Bill, check those names and addresses in the university lists and then get me a car, would you please?
Yes, sir.
In due course, I shall be visiting the gentleman you've mentioned, Miss Wainwright. But in the meantime, I have to ask you what you yourself were doing last night between about 8 o'clock and midnight.
Well, Carol and I were working in our room until about 9. We both had essays to write. And then she left to go and meet Paul. And I carried on reading until about 10:30. After that, I went to bed. I take my exams in a month, so I haven't been going out much recently.
I see. Well, thank you, Miss Wainwright. You've been most helpful. I shall want to come round and check some of Miss Webster's belongings later on this evening, but after that, I hope I can leave you in peace.
Thank you.
Sure, see that Miss Wainwright is driven home, will you?
Yes, sir.
Bill, come back in the office for a moment, would you?
Yes, sir.
I want you to check on that girl's alibi for me. She claims to have stayed in her room all evening, but see if you can find anyone to confirm it.
Okay, sir.
Did you get those addresses?
Yes, sir, I've written them down for you.
Thanks.
And the car's waiting, sir.
Oh, good. I think I'll try Mr. Richards first. He sounds the most promising.
She seems to have been quite a easygoing character, this Carol Webster.
Bill, I'm afraid this is a pretty easygoing town.
Tony, they're here already.
Now, don't get upset, Elizabeth, please. That's the very last thing you must do.
But, Tony...
Darling, we knew they'd be coming sooner or later. It's much better to get it over with quickly. Besides, I've nothing to hide.
Yes. Yes, I know, dear. I'm sorry. I'll go and let them in.
Mrs. Richards?
Yes?
I'd like to speak to your husband if he's at home. May I come in?
Yes, please do.
Thank you.
Would you step through this way?
Thank you. Mr. Richards?
Yes?
My name's Brown, Detective Inspector Brown. I'd like to ask you some questions, if I may.
Yes, by all means, Inspector. What can I do for you?
Well, it's rather a personal matter, sir. If you'd rather we were alone...
Oh, that's quite all right, Inspector. My wife and I both know why you've come. It's about Carol Webster, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Well, if it's all the same to you, I'd rather my wife was present.
Just as you wish, sir. Well, now, from your remarks a moment ago, I gather you heard how Miss Webster met her death last night.
Yes, I'm afraid we have.
Naturally, you'll understand we have to question everyone who knew this girl while she was a student, and, well, that's why I'm here.
Yes, of course.
Good. Now, I'm told that you knew Miss Webster quite well, Mr. Richards.
Yes, that's correct. She was reading English. She was a pupil of mine last year. She was also a first-class actress. She had a leading part in a play which I produced for the Amateur Dramatic Society in March.
I see. I should perhaps warn you, Mr. Richards, that according to my information, your association with this girl went somewhat further than that.
I'm afraid it was never a secret, and I've been very fortunate in that my wife has forgiven me. It didn't last very long. I don't suppose it's any excuse, but she seemed to throw herself at me just for the sake of it. And I, being 40 and flattered, accepted the bait.
Yes, I see. You say it didn't last very long. Just when did this association come to an end?
Oh, about 6 months ago, before Christmas.
And since then, had you ever had any contact with Carol?
I saw her in the street now and then. As I told you, she was in a play which I produced. But for the most part, I avoided her.
Who broke it off, you or Miss Webster?
I did, Inspector.
Why?
Well, because after a few weeks, it got to the point where I realized that she didn't have any real affection for me. She'd simply tried out our relationship as an experiment. It was all very cold-blooded.
It wasn't that she'd fallen in love with someone else?
Oh, no. No, certainly not. There was never any shortage of men in her life. But I don't think she ever felt much for any of them.
One last question, Mr. Richards. It's the one I have to ask. I'd like you to tell me where you and your wife were between 8 o'clock and midnight last night.
Well, we can't prove it, Inspector, but Elizabeth and I spent the whole evening here together. I was reading and my wife was knitting.
You didn't go out? You had no visitors? No telephone calls?
No, none at all.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Richards. You've been very frank and helpful. I hope I shan't have to trouble you again.
So do I, Inspector.
Oh, hello, Bill. Anything turn up while I was out?
No, not a great deal, sir. How do you get on with Richards?
No, not very well. He and his wife claim to have spent the evening at home. But you'd better check up with the neighbors and see if anyone can back them up.
Okay.
I think the Richards must be pretty well unique in one respect, though.
Why is that, sir?
They haven't got a television set. Now, let's see. What about Carol's roommate? Did you check up on her alibi?
Oh, yes, sir, I did. And it seems that whenever Miss Wainwright and Carol Webster wanted to do some work, they always used to lock themselves in their room until they were finished.
Ah, as a means of avoiding temptation.
Yes. All their friends knew about this, and I found a couple of them who knocked on their door last night, one about 8 o'clock, the other about 9:30. The door was locked both times, and they got no reply.
Oh. Well, we know that both Carol and Jennifer were in there at 8 o'clock writing their essays, but at 9:30, Miss Wainwright could have been either in or out.
Exactly, sir.
How about the men in Carol's life? Have you got hold of any yet?
Oh, yes, sir. We found one of them, Paul Reynolds. He's outside now, sir.
Oh, good. How about the others?
Well, sir, Ronald Fulton has digs in Waverley Road. I checked with his landlady, and she says he's usually round at the University Photographic Studio in the evenings.
Yes, that makes sense. Jennifer Wainwright said he was a keen photographer.
Oh, sir, there's Jonathan Neal. We haven't found him yet, but there's no reason to suppose he's done a bunk.
Okay, Bill, I think I'll see Reynolds now.
Right, sir, I'll get him. Mr. Reynolds, will you come in, please?
Yes, of course.
Sit down, please, Mr. Reynolds.
Oh, thank you.
Now then, I'd like your full name, please.
Paul Geoffrey Reynolds.
Yes, age?
21.
Do you know why you're here?
Well, yes. As soon as I heard about Carol's death, I came round here of my own accord.
Splendid. I like volunteers. Now then, I've already interviewed Jennifer Wainwright, and she tells me that you had a date with Carol last night.
Oh, yes, that's right. She was supposed to meet me at the Frenchman's Arms at about 9:30, just for a drink.
But she didn't turn up?
No.
What did you do when she didn't arrive?
Well, I had a couple of drinks with some friends. I'd been there since about 9:00. And then at about 9:45, I went up the road to look for her.
Go on.
Oh, well, I hung around on the corner for a bit, and then about 10:00, I went back to my room.
What time did you get there?
About 10:15, I should think.
What did you do? Go straight to bed?
No, not immediately. I read for a while.
After you left the pub, did you see anyone you know?
No, I don't think so.
That's pity. However, in a few minutes, I shall want you to give Sergeant Cunningham here a much more detailed account of your movements from about 6:00 last night until you went to sleep. After that, it'll all be typed out so you can sign it, okay?
Yes, that's all right with me.
Good. I want the names of the people in the pub, everything you can remember about last night. You can write down all the details in the outer office. Sure, get my car, Al. I'm going out again. I'll send Sergeant Cunningham out in a moment, Reynolds.
All right, Inspector.
Well, what did you think of him, Bill?
Oh, he seemed fairly honest to me, sir.
Yes, I thought so, too. Well, I think I'll go and see this fellow who's keen on photography.
Ronald Fulton.
Yes, that's him.
Come in.
Excuse me, Mr. Fulton.
Yes, that's right.
My name is Brown, Detective Inspector Brown.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, sir? I'd like a few words with you, if I may.
Yes, of course, Inspector. As a matter of fact, I did think that you might be coming round here this evening.
Oh?
Yes, I heard the dreadful news about Carol earlier on. As you can see, I've just been looking through some of the pictures I took of her. I expect you know that she sat for me.
Yes, I had heard.
I think that one was the best portrait I ever took of her. Just the head and shoulders.
Oh, yes. Yes, she was a very attractive girl, wasn't she?
Extremely.
Yes. Mr. Fulton, just how well did you know Carol Webster?
Oh, quite well, Inspector. I used to meet her fairly regularly at parties and so forth. And then after a while, about a year ago, I asked her to pose for me. She had a perfect figure, as you can see.
Yes, quite. Your landlady tells me that you spend most of your evenings here in the studio.
Yes, I suppose that's true.
Were you here last night, for example?
Last night? No, as a matter of fact, last night I went to the pictures.
Alone?
No, with friends.
What time did you leave your friends and go back to your digs?
Well, we had some coffee afterwards, so it would be about 11:45, I should say.
I see. Would you mind if I keep a couple of these pictures of Carol, just for reference?
Oh, certainly, Inspector. I'm glad you appreciate my work.
Yes. Yes. Now, you won't mind giving me the names and addresses of those friends you were with last night?
Not at all, Inspector.
Hello, Cunningham here. Oh, good, bring him up. Inspector Brown's not back yet, but he shouldn't be long.
Anything new, Bill?
Yes, sir. We found another of her boyfriends, Jonathan Neal. They're bringing him up now, sir.
Oh, good. He's about the last of the ones Miss Wainwright told us about.
Did you have any luck with Fulton?
No, not much. I doubt whether he could kill anyone, even if he tried. Besides, he's got a pretty solid alibi.
Oh.
Yes, he says he puts the pictures with friends. I've got all the addresses here.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Better check their story, I suppose.
Okay, sir.
Mr. Fulton also gave me some pictures, but you aren't old enough to see them.
I'll bet.
Sure. Send in Mr. Neal if he's there, please.
Yes, sir.
Oh, now, let's see what this young man has to say for himself. Do the necessary for me, please, Bill.
Right you are, sir.
I'll come in, Mr. Neal.
Sit down, Mr. Neal, please. Right, name?
You already seem to know it.
Oh, your full name, please.
Jonathan Neal.
Age?
21.
You're an undergraduate?
Yes.
Right. Do you know why you're here?
Well, I suppose it's because I knew Carol Webster.
Exactly, sir. This is Detective Inspector Brown. He's got a few questions he'd like to ask you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. When did you last go out with Carol Webster, Mr. Neal? About 3 months ago, I suppose. Why did you stop going out with her?
Well, because I met someone else whose company I preferred. As a matter of fact, I got engaged recently.
How recently?
Well, today, actually.
I see. And who's the young lady?
Someone I met at home.
Which is where?
Birmingham.
Mm-hmm. So naturally, if you can possibly avoid it, you don't want to be mixed up in the murder case just at the moment.
Exactly.
All right. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you can go immediately if you'll tell me exactly where you were last night between 8 o'clock and midnight.
8 o'clock and midnight?
That's right.
Well, until about 8:30, I was in my room.
Yes?
And then I went to supper. And after that, about 8:30, I went for a walk.
You went for a walk?
Yes.
Where to?
Well, I went quite a long way, out towards Fairview Park.
And what time did you get back from this walk?
Oh, about 11:30.
Now, let's get this quite clear in our minds, shall we? The night before your engagement is announced to a young lady in Birmingham, who I'm sure is quite charming, you went out on your own for a 3-hour walk into the country. I've got it right now, haven't I?
Yes.
Now, my dear Mr. Neal, poets go for walks. But you look more like a rugger player to me.
Well, I can't help that, can I?
You don't really expect me to believe this story, do you? Why weren't you celebrating in the nearest pub like any normal young man?
Well, I...
Yes, what is it?
The dredging party sent this parcel along, sir. There's a note with it.
Oh, thank you, Shaw.
All right, one, sir.
Open the note, will you, Bill?
Oh, yes, sir.
Just sit where you are for a moment, Mr. Neal.
Yes, sir.
Well, now, what do you make of this, Bill?
Flick knife. Do you think that was the murder weapon?
No, I'm sure of it.
According to the note here, sir, it was found quite close to the body. But there were no fingerprints on it, sir.
No prints, perhaps. But there are some initials on the handle. Mr. Neal, do the initials J.N. suggest anyone to you?
J.N.?
Yes. How about Jonathan Neal, for instance? Take a good look at this flick knife, Mr. Neal. Have you ever seen it before?
Well, yes, I think it's mine.
Are you sure?
Yes, those are my initials on it.
I see, so it is yours. You're not a complete fool, Neal. And you've heard us say that this is the knife that killed Carol Webster. Now, I'd like to know why we shouldn't assume that it was you who stabbed her.
Well, in the first place, it couldn't have been me because someone stole that knife from my room a few days ago.
How many days ago?
Well, it was last weekend when I saw it had gone. At the time, I thought I'd just lost it. But I realize now that it must have been taken.
How many people knew you had this knife?
Well, I've had it for nearly a year. I suppose anyone who came into my room could have seen it.
How many people have been in your room this year? Approximately, I mean, 10, 20, 50?
Oh, between 20 and 30, I suppose.
All right. So if what you're telling me is true, it means that someone who knew both you and Carol Webster deliberately removed that knife from your room with a view to killing her.
Yes, it does look like that.
Very well. Now, if you want me to believe that, you'd better tell me exactly where you were last night, Neal. And this is your last chance, so make the most of it.
Oh, all right, I was out with a woman.
Name?
Susie Moore.
Susie Moore.
Why, do you know her?
Yes, I've met the lady. One last thing. Have you ever met Mr. Richards, who lectures in English?
No, I haven't.
Do you know an undergraduate called Ronald Fulton, keen on photography?
No, I can't say that I do.
So neither of those people has ever been in your room?
Not as far as I know.
What about Paul Reynolds and Jennifer Wainwright?
Oh, yes, they've both visited me.
Yes.
And, of course, Paul has a room directly opposite mine. He's often borrowed that knife.
Has he now? All right, that'll do for the moment.
I can go?
Yes, and the quicker the better.
Well, thank you.
Oh, boy, we get them all, don't we? Well, now, Bill, let's stand back and see where we are in this case. We've got a victim, Carol Webster.
Yeah. And we know that she was more interested in men than in most other things.
True, and that suggests a motive for the murder.
Yeah, jealousy.
I should think so. Someone who fell in love with her found he was being given the cold shoulder and didn't like it. Okay, so we look for the men in her life, and first of all, we find Mr. Richards, the married man in the case.
Well, we can forget about him, sir, because he couldn't have known where to find the murder weapon. Jonathan Neal's knife, you know.
Yeah, now look at his wife.
Well, what about Ronald Fulton?
Well, the same thing applies to him, I'm afraid. Fascinating, though, his photographs were. He didn't know Neal. Anyway, he was at the pictures when Carol was killed.
Well, we're left with Mr. Jonathan Neal, who owned the knife.
and Paul Reynolds, who could have easily pinched it, and who had a date with Carol last night.
Yes, that's right.
Now, I'll bet you 100-1 that Neil really was telling the truth this time. So that gives him an alibi with Susie Moore.
So we're back to Paul Reynolds again.
Yes, it would seem so. Is he still outside?
Yes, sir. Reynolds lives just across the corridor from Jonathan Neal. It would be the easiest thing in the world for him to nip into Neal's room and steal that knife. I mean, he had every opportunity, sir.
Yes, all that's true enough. Somehow I don't see him as a killer. Have you got his statement there?
Yes, sir. Here it is.
Yeah, thanks. Seems to me that Reynolds had time to do it. He also had access to the weapon, all right. What we really need is a motive. Bring him in again, would you, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Would you come in again, please, sir, Mr. Reynolds?
Now, there you are. Sit down, Mr. Reynolds.
Thank you.
Now then, there are one or two points I'd like to get cleared up, if I can. After you left the pub last night to go and look for Carol, what did you do exactly?
Well, I've told you as much as I can remember. I walked down to the corner of the main road and waited for a few minutes. You can see a couple of 100 yards down the road from there, so I would have seen if she was coming.
Even though it was dark?
Oh, yes, the road's very well lit.
Did anyone pass you while you were standing there? Cyclists, pedestrians?
Well, I suppose a few people did go by, but no one I knew.
About how long did you stand there?
About 10 minutes. I had a cigarette, and by then it was 10 o'clock. Our date was 9:30, so I decided that she wasn't coming.
And you were right, unfortunately. Tell me, have you ever seen this flick knife before?
Is this the knife that killed her?
Just answer my question. Have you ever seen it before?
Oh, yes, I have, actually. It belongs to Jonathan Neal. It's got his initials on it, J.N., here on the handle. I've borrowed it occasionally to sharpen pencils.
Have you borrowed it recently?
No, I didn't think so. Not for a week or two.
All right. Now, your room is exactly opposite Neal's, isn't it, on the same landing?
Yes.
When Neal goes out anywhere, does he always remember to lock the door of his room?
No, he hardly ever does, as a matter of fact. It's very stupid of him, because several people have had things stolen recently.
Did you go out with Jennifer Wainwright at all?
Once a week or so at one time, before Carol.
Why did you change over from Jennifer to Carol?
Well, to put it bluntly, Jennifer was taking the whole thing much too seriously. Just because I took her out once in a while, she thought I must be passionately in love with her.
And you weren't?
No, certainly not. I just took her out for company. Well, Carol understood that, you see. That was why she and I got on so well.
Yes, I see. How did you get in touch with Carol to make the date you had with her last night? Did you ring her up?
No, I sent a letter. Just a short note.
And she would have got that yesterday morning?
Yes, I should think so.
Oh, good. That letter may be very important to you, young man. I think I'd better go and see if I can find it. Bill, get us a car, would you?
Very good, sir.
Just a moment.
Good evening, Miss Wainwright. May we come in?
Oh, Inspector Brown. Yes, of course.
Thank you. You've met my assistant, Detective Sergeant Cunningham, I believe.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Good evening, miss.
Can I help you, Inspector?
Well, I was wondering whether Carol ever got any letters or notes from her boyfriends, and if so, whether she ever kept them.
Oh, yes, she did get quite a few, I think, but I don't believe she kept them long.
Oh, what makes you say that?
Well, she used to throw them away, that's all.
Did she ever burn them?
Oh, no. No, I don't think so.
Perhaps she left that to you, did she?
I don't quite follow you.
Well, you've been burning something quite recently, Miss Wainwright. I could smell it as soon as I came in. And over here in the hearth, there are some ashes, burnt paper.
That's just the old lecture notes.
Burning lecture notes a month before the exam. Come now, Miss Wainwright. You know as well as I do, what you were burning just now was a note from Paul Reynolds asking Carol to meet him at the Frenchman's Arms last night, now wasn't it?
Well, I didn't think it was important.
No, it wasn't particularly. But you used to go out with Paul Reynolds, didn't you?
Who told you that?
Paul did. He also told me he had to stop going out with you because you were becoming much too possessive.
That's not true.
I think it is. I think you're desperately in love with Paul and have been for months.
Oh, really?
And then when Paul dropped you and started going out with Carol, you became violently jealous of her.
Oh.
That was why you burnt the note Paul wrote to her. You just couldn't bear to see it lying around, reminding you of what you lost.
Oh, that's simply ridiculous, Inspector.
Is it? Listen, Miss Wainwright. Before I came up here to your room this evening, I spoke to the porter at the main entrance. And he told me that shortly after Carol left the building last night, you went after her.
Oh.
You followed her out onto that lonely path beside the river.
Oh.
And then when she stopped to light a cigarette, you came up behind her and stabbed her with the knife you stole from Jonathan Neal's room. Have you anything to say, Miss Wainwright?
No. No, nothing at all. But I'm glad she's dead. And I'm glad I killed her. Because I hated her. I hated her.
You were taking a bit of a risk with that story about the porter, weren't you, sir?
No, not really, Bill. I knew Jennifer Wainwright must have done it, and that was the one way of getting a confession. But let that be a warning to you, Bill. Never make a woman jealous.
What, me?
Come on, let's go home and get some sleep.
Listen again next week for another unforgettable story from our Springbok Library of the Air.